Turn in your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 10, the chapter that we read. We're continuing our studies in the I Am sayings of Jesus. Therefore, it is that we'll consider the words of verse 9, John 10 and verse 9. And Jesus says there, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." John 10 and 9, Jesus says, "I am the door." I want to begin with a question. It is that we've been in this church building now well over a year. Do any of you know how many doors are actually in this church? Perhaps it's something that you like to spend time considering, but it is that I contacted Jim yesterday and he was able to come up with the plans for me, and I began to count them, and it seems that on this level we have 41 doors, and in the ground level it is that there are 36 doors. So in total there are 77 doors in this church. There are a lot of doors. But then let me ask you another question. In your own home, how many doors are there in your own home? And the reason that I'm asking these questions is because doors are often things that we can take for granted. Something that I think that not only we can apply to the doors, whether they be at home or church, but it is that we can take things for granted with regard to what we've been considering in the I Am sayings of Jesus. Think on it. How often do we take bread and the bread that we eat for granted? How often is it that we take light for granted, that we can go home in the darkness of an evening, flick a switch, and it is that the light comes on? And therefore, it is that I think the tendency also follows that doors that we use every day, whether at church or at home or elsewhere, it is that often we take doors for granted. When it is that you consider this, and also the fact that Jesus uses various metaphors to speak of who he is and what he is like, then I think we can say that it follows on that we are a people who are prone, therefore, to take Jesus for granted. If we take bread and light and doors for granted, then also it is that when Jesus describes himself in these terms, then we as God's people also take Jesus Christ for granted. And it is that I think that Jesus, therefore, he's reminding us, even in these I Am sayings and the way in which it is that he uses these metaphors, that he's using ordinary, everyday things, not only that the people themselves might understand who it is that he's declaring himself to be, but also that it might be a use, that it might be something that would be an aid memoir, that it might be something that would enable them in terms of their memories to remember not just what he had said, but what it is that he had said concerning himself. And here at this point now in John 10, Jesus says, "I am the door." Now, the question I think follows on, as we've asked in the previous I Am sayings, why is it that he's selected this metaphor? Well, we can think of some reasons it is. When we leave this place today, we'll not go away from it without seeing or walking through a door. It is that when you get back to your own home, what you have to do is open and walk through the door. When it is that you're inside your home to get to the kitchen or the living room or the basement or wherever else it may be, one of the things that you've got to do is walk through a door. When it is that you retire to your bedroom tonight, it is that you've got to walk through a door. When you rise tomorrow morning, it is that you'll have to go through various doors. You'll have to open your car door. When it is that you get to your place of work or wherever it is that you will be, it's pretty sure that there's another door that will have to be entered and gone through. And wherever it is that we go, whether in church, at home, within our society, we're confronted constantly by doors of different sorts, different types, doors that serve different functions and so on. And so it's almost as though I think that Jesus, very cleverly, in using this metaphor, is saying to us, wherever it is that you go, I will meet you there. Anywhere and everywhere it is that I will speak to you. I will make the door of every room of your house and the door of every cupboard that's in your house preach a little sermon to you, that it is that you might consider who I am and what it is that I'm saying about myself. So you will constantly be reminded that I am the door. Now, in this section here from the beginning of chapter 10 to the end of verse 9, it is that the word door is used 5 times within this passage. You go to verse 1, thieves and robbers avoid the door. Verse 2, the shepherd goes through the door. Verse 3, the doorkeeper recognizes the shepherd and opens the door. Verse 7, Jesus says, "I am the door for the sheep." And then our text in verse 9, "I am the door." And in order to understand the significance of this I am saying, we have to note the kind of entrance that is being alluded to here. And he's speaking in terms of the context with regard to the sheepfold. Now, sheepfolds in Israel, it seems, could be of two sorts. There would be one that you would find that was large, it was well-structured, it was usually found in towns or villages, and the entrance to such a place would be guarded by a doorkeeper, and there would be an actual physical door, like the door here, and the doorkeeper would physically have to open or close the door when the shepherds came for or brought back their sheep. And in the first six verses of John 10, that's the sort of door that Jesus is talking about, an actual physical door that covers up a space. But when it is that we come to the door that he's talking about in verse 9, it's another type of door that he's speaking about. There was another type of sheepfold that was in common use. And it basically was a circular in structure. It was often made of rocks. It was often made up even in the area where the sheep were grazing through the day. And the shepherd would set this up, and it is that he would call the sheep to enter the fold. And when the sheep had all entered the safety of the fold and so on, the shepherd wouldn't put a physical door as such in place, a wooden door or whatever it was, but he himself, the person that he was, he would stand in the entrance. He would sit in the entrance. He would even at night, as he slept with the sheep, he would lie across the gap, and he physically would act as the door, keeping out the animals and keeping the sheep in. So it becomes easy to understand what it is that Christ is alluding to here. He's speaking about the exclusivity that is his. He's saying that there's no other gate into God's sheepfold, as it were, but himself. And the thief and the robber can't get in because they cannot get by him. Now again, all of us are familiar with doors. We use them dozens of times a day. We go in and we go out, and we don't even think about them. They're just there. We know that they're there. We know what they're used for, and we use them without thinking. But tell me seriously, have you ever sat down for a moment to think about what the purpose of a door is? And therefore, when you consider what the purpose of a door is, you begin to understand what Jesus is declaring about himself. And that's what we're going to spend our time on that's left to us. And the purpose of the door, what is Jesus declaring about himself as the door? First thing is access. A door provides access. And that's probably the simplest application of all. An individual enters an enclosed space by a door and an open door. But not only does he enter the space and he's able to have access, but it is he's able to have access to all of the things that are behind the door. So it's not just that you get entrance into a room, but it is that you get access to what is to be found behind that door. Seems that game show, Let's Make a Deal, first began in December of 1963. And it is that Let's Make a Deal, if you've ever watched it, you know at one point in the game show, there are prizes behind certain doors, door one, door two, and door three. And it is that behind one door, it might be something that's valuable. Behind another door, it might be something that basically you throw in the garbage pail and you're done with it. And it is that you've got to make a deal of one sort or another. But we don't have to make a deal here because it is that we've got already the best deal ever, because we can open up the proper door and indeed have access to what it is that God has prepared for those who love him. Think on it. It is through the door we have access and the access point to our Heavenly Father. Listen to Christ. In my Father's house are many rooms, and in those rooms, no doubt, there are doors. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again, will take you to be with myself, that there you may be also. And then he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when he says he's the door, he's saying it's only through me that you have access to the Father. And as having access to the Father, it is through Christ as the door that he's also saying that we have an access point to that the Father's salvation. Acts 4 and 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. And there is salvation in no one else. Why? Because he and he alone is the door. For there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. And it is that Peter there is reminding this us that the only door, the only access that we have to salvation and to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And it is that the authority of Christ provides acceptance before God through his shed blood. It is that it's Christ and Christ alone who teaches us what the truth is, what the way is, what life is all about. And it is that it's this Christ, as we enter in and through him, who commands that we be transformed into his image. And so as you go in and out various doors in your life, you have to ask yourself constantly, am I found as one who's going in and out with Christ? When it is that I leave my house in the morning and head out into the world, have I also, as it were, gone through that access point of glory in Christ? Is it Christ who is with me? Is it Christ who is by me? Is it Christ who is helping me? When it is that I'm going through a door and I don't know what's behind that door, maybe something in life, and it seems that the door is so heavy and we're finding it so difficult to open, do we know if this selfsame Christ who is the door himself helping us and guiding us? For it is this Christ who not only is the access to the Father and to salvation, but he and he alone is the access point, as it were, to the Holy Spirit. He and he alone is the one who, along with the Father, gives the Holy Spirit, and it comes through him. I mean, think on it. Where would you be this morning without the Holy Spirit? Where would you be without the work of regeneration? Where would you be without the fact that the scales have been taken from your eyes and you've been enabled to see Christ for who he is, your sin for what it is, and you have apprehended gladly and thankfully the mercy of God towards you in Jesus Christ? And if it is that we take the door for granted so often, we take the person of the Holy Spirit for granted. Where would we be as a church without Christ, without God, and without Christ and the Father giving us the Holy Spirit? Because it is that our salvation is in Christ and through Christ. It depends on Christ. It's modeled on Christ. Why? Because he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And if it is the access point to the Father, to salvation, and indeed to the Spirit, he's the access point and way to the throne room of heaven itself. Think on it. How many of you, perhaps, when you go to work tomorrow, the only way you can get into certain parts of where you work is with a card key or some special sort of key? And it's only if you've got that access card that you're able to access certain spaces in the building where you work. Your card key often is programmed to give you access to some places, but not to others. You may not have the authority, you may not have the security clearance, whatever it may be, to allow you to access and to go beyond certain doors. And it is that these doors are closed to you. But it's never that way with Christ as the door. Listen to what it is that the writer to the Hebrews says from Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It is through Christ that we have access to the throne room of heaven itself. And do we glory in that? Is it something that is part and parcel of our daily routine? That we boldly draw near a throne of grace because it is that Christ is the door. And it is in Christ and through Christ that we have access to the very throne room of God himself. And you can't sit there today and say, well, God doesn't want me to be there. No. The Scripture will not let you. Christ will not let you have that mindset. Because it is that the Scripture says that we are able to draw near boldly. Do you do that? Do you boldly each day and often in a day enter into the throne room of heaven itself? Do you? Do you often walk through that door and get to know God and get to be strengthened by God and in these ever-worsening times that we live in? It has to be. I'm tired of Christians who always seem to be in a downer. When it is that we have such glorious privileges as the children of God, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Why? Because we can enter through the one who says, I am the door, and in me and through me you have access. That's one thing. Second thing that I think we have here is protection. Protection. A door, by its nature, provides protection. You see, doors keep things out and things that we don't want inside with us. Imagine if, say, you decided to take the doors off in your own home, how it is that things would turn out. You're probably waking up in the morning, there'd be squirrels in the pantry, there'd be mosquitoes swarming the bathroom, and there would be raccoons, no doubt, digging through your trash and garbage in the kitchen. If you didn't have a door and a door that you could lock, your home would be vulnerable to thieves and criminals. When it is that you were outside, you'd go home and all your goods would be gone. What about a day like this? Can you imagine waking up this morning and there were no doors in your house? Not only would the snow be outside, but no doubt the snow would be inside and your home would be absolutely freezing. It is that when the door is there and the door protects, it allows us to change the temperature, the humidity inside our homes, and to keep our homes and the temperature where it is that we want it to be. Doors keep out the wind and the rain and the cold and the heat. And even inside our homes, if you've got a dog like I once had who loved to chew shoes, you were glad of the doors and cupboards that kept the dog out from going in and chewing the shoe. You see, doors are vital in preserving our way of life and preserving our comfort because they keep things outside that don't belong inside. And likewise, in terms of what we have here, without a gate, the sheep, as they are found in this pen, it is that the wolf or another predator could terrorize them even while they're sleeping just by walking through the fact that the door is not there. But if there's one who's there who says, I am the door, he keeps the enemies out. Think on it. He'll protect us physically. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, of the affliction we experienced. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Paul is saying, I'm someone who has relied on the door of the sheep to be my protector, and he has protected me. And think of all the ways in terms of Paul's ministry, how it is that him knowing Jesus Christ as the door of the sheep protected him wherever he went. He compares himself in 2 Corinthians 11 to other ministers. He says, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, and often near death. And listen to what he says in verse 24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 39 lashes he received. And then he goes on to say, Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, robbers, my own people, Gentiles, dangers in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, danger from false brothers. And what did Paul know of? The protection of the door. The protection of Jesus Christ. And he knew of it physically. And we can know of that as well, of Christ protecting us. We can know of Christ as a door, not just protecting us physically, but protecting us from Satan and his demons. You're saying, whoa, what road are you going down there, Alan? I'm going down a very real road. And a road that sometimes I think that we tend to forget. And that it is that we don't pray about as often as we should. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we need to remember that there are demons who are constantly trying to get at us as God's people. Mary Ann sent me an article this week from John Piper's website, Desiring God, speaking about this very thing. And it ties in so well with what I'm considering today. And one of the things this writer was saying, and I believe and wholeheartedly hold to what he was saying, is that we have to acknowledge that this war is real and that this war is raging all around us and that we must be ready to fight, to take up the shield of faith and fight, recognizing that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and with wickedness in high places. And you see, there's a battle that's on every day for the hearts of every one of us here. There's a battle that goes on every day for every single marriage that's here. And don't kid yourself and think, that doesn't apply to my marriage. It does. Because Satan and his demons want to destroy every marriage in every church in any way that they can. And he will go out of his way to do it. Our children, the demons and Satan will do everything in their power to destroy them. Whether it be by internet porn, whether it be by shooting up with drugs of one sort or another, whatever it is, he will try and destroy Christian homes and marriages and families. And we need to be aware and cognizant of this. Our wallets, our motives, our hopes, our joys, they want to destroy it all. We can't pretend that these things are off limits to the accuser of the brethren. We cannot coast through the Christian life as so often we do. And we cannot live as if we were defenseless. And we cannot allow ourselves to be unaware of the schemes of Satan. And we cannot allow fear and anxiety to get the best of us. And we must pray that we be strong and courageous because the Lord himself is with us and in us and for us. And it is that he is the door and will protect us. Do you believe what I'm saying? Or are my words just bouncing off the walls and the doors of this building? Too readily we forget that there is an enemy of our souls. And he wants to destroy us. Make no doubt about it. You say you're exaggerating. Fine, I'm exaggerating then. But he's real. As real as you and I are here in this building today. And he will go out of his way to sow seeds of hatred and discord in this congregation if we allow him to do it. And we need to beware. Maybe that then, the next point, follows on naturally. Access, protection, separation. That's what the door does. A door is a separator. A door provides a boundary, a mark of delineation between spaces, between the outside hall and in here. A door separates the house from the garage, the bedroom from the hallway, the bedroom from the bathroom. It separates the office from the closet, the warehouse from the store, a public area from a private area. You get the idea? It's simple. Because Jesus wants us to take these simple things on board, because at times we're so thick and stupid. And that's why it is that he does it, that we might remember and know this. And Christ, therefore, as the door, is saying, I am the one who separates you from the world. And if it is that you come in and out through me, then you must be separate and different. Inside is the flock of God. Inside is his church, in which all have many things in common, particularly Christ himself. And outside is the rest. Outside is the world. Outside are the enemies. And Christ is the door that separates us and provides a boundary between us and all else. Can we say that is a reality in our lives? That we are separated unto Christ? Because it is that we know of him as the door, that we are entering by him, and we know of his salvation, and we are going in and out and finding pasture. If we really are followers of Christ, we have to be separated from the world. If we are really followers of Christ, when we are separated by the door, the difference becomes obvious. Just as the doors make it so obvious that this in here is different to the corridor out there. That's how simple it is. We've got access, we've got protection, we've got separation. The fourth thing is fellowship. A door when it's open is a sign of fellowship. A door when it's open is a sign of welcoming. And Christ is that open door through which we enter, who provides fellowship. And he's opened the door to fellowship, and it's fellowship not just with himself, but with the Father, and it's fellowship that reaches down to each one of us here, because he has opened access. And think of the joy that that brings. There are some doors that you gladly go through because you know that when you enter that home, you're welcome. I can remember when I would go back to Scotland when my parents were alive, and how good it was to see the door opening as I arrived, to see my mother and my father standing there, and to hear them say to me, come in, son, we've missed you, and to know of them put their arms around me, to know of them kissing me and hugging me, and having fellowship and friendship with them. Can you imagine what it would have been like if I turned up after flying over from here and the doors closed? And it is that I'm knocking the door and I hear my parents saying, go away. We don't want you here. Can you imagine how devastating that would be to a son or to a daughter or a family member? But it's never that way with Christ. Christ says, come in. You're welcome. Christ says, come in and have fellowship. Christ says, come in and sit with me. Come in and sit and feed with me. Come in and talk to me, because I want to talk to you. Come in and have fellowship with me. And it means also that we have fellowship one with another. Because whatever it is that we enter in through Christ, the room is full with countless tens of thousands. Heaven is full of people today. Tens upon tens upon tens of thousands having fellowship one with another. We, in a sense, are but a little mirror image of that. People from different backgrounds, different temperaments. If we weren't in the church, we probably wouldn't give one another the thought of day. Probably many of us, if we weren't in the church, we wouldn't even like each other. But it's different when you're in through the door of Christ, or it should be different. And that's the problem at times. It's not. Has to be, if our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, and we have fellowship therefore one with another. And therefore it means that we matter not only to him, but to one another as well. And it is that there's movement. That's the fifth thing when a door, when we go through it. A door is a means of going in and going out. It is that there's movement. So when we move in and move out, and time's going, and so I'm going through this quickly, giving you just the bare bones of these last points. It is then that Christ is with us. And as we go through the various doors of life, at various stages of life, the door of marriage, the door of becoming parents, the door of becoming grandparents, whatever it is, we are able to do so in and through Jesus Christ. So we've got access, we've got protection, we've got separation, we've got fellowship, we've got movement. And the sixth thing we have when Jesus says, I am the door, and I want to close with this. I deliberately have shortened the fifth point because I want to close with this point and that you get it, hopefully. The sixth point is healing. Healing. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. Now, it seems that the shepherd, when the sheep return to the fold at the end of the day, after a day of grazing, that the shepherd who would himself become the actual physical door, he would stand in the doorway of the pen and he would inspect each sheep as it came in from grazing. And if it were the case that a sheep were scratched or wounded by thorns, the shepherd would stop that sheep and anoint it with oil. And that would facilitate the healing of whatever it is that the sheep had experienced. Secondly, it seems if the sheep were thirsty, before the sheep went into the pen for the night, the shepherd would also give the sheep water. He would have a water bowl there, and the sheep would take the water. Now, how simple, how pastorally beautiful. When Jesus says, I am the door, at the end of the day, that's what Jesus does for us. That's what he does for you. When it is that you come in after a day, and maybe it's been a difficult day for you. Maybe it is that you're bruised, you're bloodied. Maybe it is that because of your own willful, stubborn heart that you've sinned in some way, and it is that you're broken spiritually. And you're thinking, dare I come back to the fold? Dare I come back to the flock? Dare I enter the sheep pen once again because of what I've done? Surely the shepherd will cast me aside and not let me in. I don't believe that one bit. And it's taken me decades to come to that point to believe that with all my heart, because the way that I was brought up in the church, Christ was an angry Christ. Jesus was an angry Savior. And when it is that you failed Jesus, boy, you were in for trouble. And that was so wrong. So wrong. Because Jesus, when you come back to him at the end of the day, he doesn't inspect you looking for all your flaws. He doesn't inspect you looking for all the ways that you fell short. Why? Because he's already aware of these things, as are you. But instead, what does Jesus do? He looks at the places where you've been and where it is that you've been scratched or wounded by the thorns of life. And it is that he notices the places where you've been that have made you thirsty in the inside. And Jesus is the door. Jesus is the good shepherd. What he does as you re-enter the sheepfold at the end of the day is that he applies the ointment of grace to your soul. He applies the ointment and the healing of mercy. And he applies the ointment of forgiveness, full and free, and it is that he applies and lets you know unconditional love. Why? Because he is the good shepherd as well as the door. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? And it is that you've wandered, it is that you've hurt yourself, it is that you're wondering, dare I go back? Oh yes, my friend, you can go back. You can go back even now. Why? Because he is the door. And he's there. And as you enter through him, as you trust him, it is that he welcomes you into fellowship with himself and with his Father. And it is that he and he alone is able to apply the balm of Gilead to your hurting soul and heart and mind. And I know that at times in a congregation, there are hurting hearts and minds sitting in the pews. There are hurting husbands, hurting wives, hurting children, hurting marriages. And my friend, today, you can know of Christ as the door. And he gladly says, come in. The door is open. Come in through me. When you walk out those doors at the back today, when you go out the doors up top or down below, when you open the doors of your car, when you get to your home and open the doors to go into your home, when it is that you do all these things, when you go to work tomorrow and you open the door of your office, take time and remember what we've been considering today and pray that you might be able to say that you know of Jesus Christ as the door that you have entered through. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Lord, we thank you for what Christ reveals concerning himself, and we thank you, Father, that he does so in such simple and yet such profound terms. He speaks of himself as bread. We eat bread daily. He speaks of himself as light. And it is that daily we know of the blessing that comes through light, dispelling darkness. And it is now that he says, I am the door. And we pray that all of us without exception, that we might willingly, gladly, with joy in our hearts, enter through him and enter into the very throne room of heaven itself. We pray particularly for any amongst us, Father, who are hurting today, even if it is that that hurt has been of their own, a willful, stubborn, sinful hearts. We pray that even now, that they might know of we returning to the sheep pen and knowing of the good shepherd, applying the ointment of grace to their heart and mind. Father, go with us through the day and forgive sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.